What did Kimi say? Why is Faraday's last name Faraday? And what are Damon and Carlton doing after the finale? We'll have information on all that and more in today's official Lost audio podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. We are quickly closing in on the finale, which means only a few more audio podcasts left. Incidentally, we'd love to gather your all's thoughts and put together a top 10 list of the best podcasts ever. From Lost, of course. Send in your suggestions to the same place you send your questions, comments, and concerns, lostfanquestions@abc.com, all one word. Examples could include the first time we mentioned Ezra J. Sharkington, first time Carlton ever played the banjo, or up to you on really what makes the best podcast ever. Make sure, though, you check out the mandatory legalese at the end of the podcast. In any case, Damon and Carlton are back with us today to rehash Everybody Loves Hugo, take a look forward towards The Last Recruit, and take some key fan questions from you all. Enjoy.
Hello, Damon.
Hi, Carlton.
Well, here it is, another podcast.
Oh my god. Only five podcasts left.
Probably not even that many.
It's like,
because we're not going to do one every week. But yeah, we're pretty much down to we're very few podcasts left.
So few that it's just really, really sad.
Wow. I feel like singing something from Willy Wonka right now.
That was actually a really good promo. That was kind of totally trippy.
It was.
I know that perhaps some of us, yours truly, has tweeted that he was angry about certain things and the promo department was doing. But that was an awesome, awesome promo.
I would say that significantly, if there was a scale, per se,
yes,
on the promo department, it would be tipped very much in favor of White, in favor,
yes,
of many of the great things that they have done for us. So.
That was totally awesome. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the promo for next week's episode, The Last Recruit, is this very kind of great bit that they took Gene Wilder's voice from when they're going through the tunnel in Willy Wonka, right after Augustus Gloop has disappeared, and he's singing, and you're seeing all that trippy imagery, and they did some really cool stuff visually with the show. So that is what we mean.
And that stands in place for actually trying to give away spoilers, which,
correct,
is actually great. I,
yes,
mean, we're very happy about that, because our feeling is that most of you do not really want to see a bunch of scenes from upcoming episodes, that the joy of Lost is actually kind of approaching it cold, you know, kind of with the great mysteries of the show washing over you.
All right, well, just something to talk about real quick before we kind of launch into our rehashing and prehashing. We've gotten a lot of your guys' questions, and one of the things that we love most about this podcast is it allows us to sort of answer your questions. But a lot of the questions that are coming in now are all sort of on the axis of, are you going to answer this mystery? Or, I noticed back in season 2, such and such and yada yada, can you explain that for us? And this is actually a really good segue for us to say, we're going to answer what we can answer, but at the end of the day, the show has to speak for itself. Isn't that right, Carlton?
It is very right, Damon. And again, our goal has been to tackle the big important questions and the big mysteries, and that, you know, we've always felt that it would be incredibly didactic if we were basically just trying to rattle off answers to a lot of these little questions. And it's very much like life. There are a lot of little questions in life that I have that never get answered as well.
Like, why are you wearing a hat with a feather in it?
And I won't answer that.
Yeah.
I think you have to debate the mystery as to why I chose to wear a hat with a feather today. So for some reason, I chose to do that, and I choose not to answer. And that is a mystery that should engage you, should make you more curious about me.
What's interesting is if it were like a Robin Hood-style hat, then I wouldn't even be asking why it has a feather in it. But because it's like an eagle bowler hat.
It's an eagle,
yeah,
feather.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's
now you're answering. Now you're on the verge of answering the question.
Well, I can say that it's a bit of an homage to Lord Baltimore in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Okay, fair enough. I know exactly. I know exactly to what you refer. So now you've answered the question, Lord Baltimore.
No, I haven't answered the question as to why I'm wearing it.
All right. Well, so don't answer it. Speaking of questions, there are questions that the show has to answer. That if the show didn't answer it, it would be a complete and total cop out. And of course, one of those questions was the whispers. That's not the kind of thing that we've made such a big meal out of these things over the course of it, and also it matters. matters to the characters.
Right.
They've experienced these whispers. Sometimes the whispers seem to herald the arrival of the others, and people were wondering, is some sort of... But in fact, maybe...
When you said herald the arrival, was that an intentional pun or an unintentional pun?
You mean herald the arrival?
As in Harold Perrineau, right. As in Michael, as yeah. in the manifestation of the whispers on the show Tuesday night?
I meant herald, so it was an unintentional pun, but... Yeah, so the whispers, it turns out, Carlton, happen to be the voices of
dead
those
souls
who cannot move on.
Who are still on this island and somehow in some unreconciled state.
Yes.
And therefore they whisper.
Right. And who knows what it is they're saying, but when Rousseau heard them, maybe they're trying to warn the living or what it is they're trying to say, who knows. But it seems like certainly Michael was trying to warn Hurley of something.
Yes.
And that's maybe what led our guys to the lock group.
Right.
A very bold choice.
Well, he was pretty clear about what he was warning him. He was warning him that the path that Hurley was going to lead them on was going to lead a lot of people to be dead.
Right. And so do you think that by blowing up the Black Rock, Hurley actually ended up saving lives?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope so. But I'm not sure. I'm not completely sure.
My feeling is if Hurley's idea was to go and talk to Locke, and Hurley, he's our guy. Like,
yeah.
It can't possibly be a bad idea.
I hope, you know, I have kind of a bad feeling all the time when I watch the show that bad things are going to happen, but that might just be me.
I can't wait to hear what Locke has to say for himself, and hopefully I'll find out next week in next week's episode, The Last Recruit.
Speaking of which, by the way, why did, you know, as long as we're sort of rehashing Everybody Loves Hugo without acknowledging that we're rehashing it, let's acknowledge that we're rehashing it. And
okay.
Was there a particular reason, Damon, why Desmond would run over Locke in the sideways? Was there like a revenge thing happening there? What's your postulation about that?
Yeah, so the sideways, obviously based on the events of Happily Ever After, we are now getting a sort of a connective thread between these two places. We're not entirely sure what it means, but Desmond...
Thank God.
Yeah, Desmond, at the very least, seems to have some awareness, either in the island of the sideways or in the sideways of the island, certainly, but of this other world. So one can't help but wonder if he is running over Locke because Locke threw him in a well. Is there an interrelationship between these two things?
Yeah, or is it possible that Desmond is, you know, running over Locke because he's trying to kind of catalyze some events? I mean, he did make a pronouncement at the end of Happily Ever After that basically he wanted to get the airplane manifest. He had something to show everybody.
Maybe he just wanted to show Locke his car.
Yeah. Well, he certainly did show him his car.
Hey, check out the roof of
Boom.
My car.
That was a cool stunt, by the way. I mean, that was really...
I can't believe Terry did that.
I know. It's incredibly...
Mean,
and
very
three
committed.
Times, too. It's like, you know what? I think the guy didn't have the focus right, Terry. Could you just get hit by the car again?
Well, the second take, Terry was like, I blinked in that one. So we had to do it again.
Exactly.
So there's a man who's really committed to his work.
All right, well, do we want to prehash anything about 613, The Last Recruit?
Well, first,
wow, that's a very portentous title.
Yeah, we know that Locke has been recruiting people.
Yeah,
so
he's got quite a few people kind of in his camp.
Who is the last recruit?
You know, I would say Jack is certainly not in his camp, and Jack seems like he's a pretty significant character, and Hurley's kind of got a plan to go talk to Locke, so
it seems like he's kind of already in.
Yeah, so...
Saeed's definitely recruited.
God, I would be really curious to see what happens if Jack and Locke have a conversation at this point.
Well, you might not have to wait too long. I think that, you know, this is a very exciting storytelling point in the season. There are just 6 hours of the show left at this point. And
6 hours.
6 hours, 5 episodes of the show left. It's time to stop lollygagging around and kind of get to it. But this episode... All we can say about it is it is not a character-centric episode. We're not focusing on just one person like we have been in the last couple of weeks.
Interesting.
So just that's just more of an intriguer as opposed to a spoiler.
An intriguer. Mm-hmm. That's good. I like that word.
We copyrighted that, so don't.
I'm going to call you the intriguer. You know what?
You owe me 9 cents every time you say it.
You know what? That would be good. That'd be like a good alter ego as opposed to like Spider-Man or Batman. You should just be the intriguer.
And you should keep wearing that hat with the feather in it.
How about a question, Damon?
Shoot.
Ready for some questions?
This
okay.
one is from Damon Lindelof in...
My name is Damon Lindelof.
In Studio City, California. Question. Yes. Carlton, I have heard that you and Damon will be appearing on the Jimmy Kimmel Show after the finale to explain everything. about the finale. Is this true?
Yes, it is absolutely not true. Thank you for your question, Damon.
Yeah, let's clear this up. When did I write this?
The truth is, we will be actually on Jimmy Kimmel's show on Friday, the 21st, and we will be live on that show, and we are going to tape a bit for his Sunday Aloha Lost show, but we will not be appearing live after the finale pretty much anywhere.
Because because we will be in radio silence.
Yes.
And we are going to let the show
speak for itself.
Which the show will not be in radio silence. It'll be speaking for itself. You just have to listen.
Yes. I mean, this is not a permanent condition, but certainly for some period of time after the finale, we want the audience to have the same experience with this finale as they've had with the other finales. Yes. And we also feel like it does a disservice to the audience's kind of participation in the show to basically be out there saying, no, this is what we meant. This is what you should think here. This is what this is, all about. We really do feel like, our work, we've worked really hard on the finale and we stand by it. And we hope you guys like it, but it is what it is.
And then just in time for Christmas, we will be releasing a leaflet called What Lost Was Really About. And that's retailing for $19.95 out of the back of our car.
Not true. But maybe by Christmas, we could be possibly okay. doing that. All right. Here's a question that I would really like it if you didn't dodge, if you just would answer for the audience directly, okay?
I have a feeling. I know what it is. Go ahead. When you shake a box and you go, oh, right.
Here we go.
It's shoes.
If Daniel Faraday's mom is called Eloise Hawking,
right,
and his dad is called Charles Widmore, why is his surname Faraday? I realize this is not particularly important. Yes, you are very wise, Ellie. But I just do need to know. From Ellie, short for Eleanor, not Eloise.
That is actually a great question. It's partially related, I guess, to another sort of subset question in The Sideways, which is, we hear that Penny's last name is Milton in The Sideways, and Daniel Faraday's last name is Widmore. So let's not worry about The Sideways. Let's worry about the island world. Here's what we know. We know that Daniel Faraday was born off the island to Eloise Hawking. Her name was Eloise Hawking, and she had an affair with Charles Widmore when they were young people on the island. Their relationship went awry at some point, and she had this baby, and she named him Daniel Faraday. Why did she name him Daniel Faraday? Well, one might posit she didn't name him Daniel Widmore because she didn't want anybody to know that the child's father was Widmore. What do we know about Widmore, Carlton? He stayed on the island.
That's right.
He became the leader of the others.
So is it possible that she was attempting to kind of hide from her past by choosing the name Faraday?
That's exactly what happened. And lo and behold, Widmore found him anyway. In fact, started sponsoring his research, which we know Hawking was very upset about when we showed this in The Variable. While she was trying to maintain the space-time continuum, it turns out that Widmore, although he had lost the woman that he loved, still wanted to help his son in some way, but help him get back to the island and fulfill his destiny to be shot by his own mother.
Right. Now, in The Sideways, we see that these three characters have a much happier set of interpersonal dynamics. And as a result of that, what is Daniel's name in The Sideways?
It's Daniel Widmore.
Right.
Her name is Mrs. Widmore. His name is Mr. Widmore. And the only person who used to be a Widmore and is a Widmore no more is Penny Milton.
Now I'm sure she's wondering why is Penny's last name Milton.
Well, we've always known, and I think we can say this on the podcast too, Penny's mother is someone else entirely. Perhaps an earlier wife of Widmore's, because Faraday acknowledges her as his half-sister. But that's a good question. I have one for you now, Carlton, and I'm going to try to get through it quick because it's big. This is from Michael Dominic in Toronto, Ontario. Most wise and beneficent Damon and Carlton.
You know what? That's good. If we're gonna dump Darlton, that's the final winner, yes. Really.
I find myself in quite the predicament. In fact, it is a dilemma so torturous that only the two of you can offer any hope for resolution. You see, for the past 3 years, I have hosted weekly Lost viewing parties for a number of equally devoted friends. Among them is a soon-to-be married couple, Julia and Steven. Imagine our horror when it was announced that the Lost series finale would not, in fact, be shown in Lost's regular Tuesday night time slot, but on Sunday, May 23rd, the exact date and time of Julia and Steven's wedding. Needless to say, the entire Lost Party, bride and groom included, are beyond distraught. My first question is, what should we all do? Should we attend the wedding and miss the grandest of all finales, or should we skip the wedding and perhaps even pressure our friends to cancel it entirely? After all, Lost only ends once. My second question is, would you be able to find it in your hearts to offer your forgiveness to Julie and Steven for inadvertently scheduling their wedding on such an important day? It would mean the world to them. It would also mean the world to me. Being able to offer your forgiveness would sure beat having to buy them a gift. Your humble and obedient servant, Michael Dominic. There are two questions in there. The first is, what should they do, Carlton?
Okay, here's my advice. Moving into the sort of Dear Abby social sphere.
The institution of marriage is flawed and antiquated.
No. That's not my advice. My advice is that there is a significant problem if you're getting married at 8 o'clock on a Sunday night. So my thought is, if you're getting married on Sunday, do it during the day. It's nice. It's a daytime wedding on a Sunday afternoon is a fantastic thing. Look at The Godfather. Was that wedding at night? No, that wedding was, they were celebrating that wedding during the day. Were they not?
I'm not sure you want to to compare Julie and Steven's wedding to the wedding of Michael Corleone's.
But it was nice. They had a nice
sister.
Outdoor party.
Yeah.
But I think that it would be really nice if they had the wedding during the day, and then I think there's probably time during that two-hour kind of honeymoon night when they could watch the finale of Lost.
Because that's what you want to be doing on your wedding night. That's what you want to be doing on your wedding night. You want to pick your wife up, carry her across the threshold, and
have a champagne, glass of champagne, and watch the Lost finale.
Get your Jacob on.
That's
right. As I like to call it in my house.
Exactly. So that's my advice. What was the second question in that? Oh, yes, forgiveness. Yes. It was an inadvertent, and you have our...
Julie and Steven are the ones who actually sort of committed the transgression.
Oh.
Because they're not only getting married on the date of our finale, which we've been planning for 6 years, but they're inviting all their friends who are clearly Lost fans.
Again, I think the daytime wedding clears this all up and that everybody can have sort of, can watch it during the evening. That's my hope.
Okay.
All right, this is from Cincy Steve Levine. And
who is oddly from Pittsburgh.
Damon and Carlton, so I've listened to enough podcasts to know that if I word my question right or ask about something as so outlandish like lactation or whom, I may get an inkling of an affirmative response. I'm trying the former first, so here goes. Is it likely, more than any reasonable possibility, that every action that Eloise Hawking has taken off-island has simply been for the love of her son, Daniel? Okay, if you don't want to answer that, here's my attempt at some outlandishness. So when are you guys coming to Cincy for 20 questions and some sweet and spicy Cincy chili?
Wow.
Did you know that Cincinnati is one of the largest markets for reality TV shows? And since Lost has two realities, your ratings are twice as high here in the Queen City.
I don't know where to begin, so I'll begin with the Eloise Hawking question, which is, yes, it's possible that everything she did for the love of her son, but also for the love of the space-time continuum. Because you have to think, if you really love your son, why put him on a path so you could shoot him in the back?
That's right.
So on her scale, space-time continuum, slightly higher than love of son.
Hey, by the way, speaking of space-time continuum, let me just ask you a quick follow-up question from Chris Cascoon from PA.
Okay.
So we know that most of the characters' lives are different in The Flash Sideways, but what I want to know is, do Nikki and Paolo still suck in that timeline?
Wow. A lot of people have been asking, and by a lot of people I mean you, about Nikki and Paolo and whether or not they'll appear in the Sideways. I like to think that Nikki and Paolo are having an awesome, awesome life in the Flash Sideways. And the difference, because things are awesome in The Flash Sideways, it feels like, why make the mistake that you made the first time around by introducing them into the core cadre of the show? Let's just assume that they're off. She's on season 5 of Exposé. Paolo is still cooking for that guy in Australia, and everything is just progressing lovingly.
Yeah, so she's still married to that producer dude, probably.
Yes, that would be my guess.
All right.
Question for you, Carlton.
Yes.
From Kevin Evans.
Hi, Kevin.
Dear Damon and Carlton, my name is Kevin Evans, and yes, I know it sort of rhymes. If whom is banned on the show, how do you explain Desmond's surname?
Desmond whom?
I just had to read that because I thought
it was clever. I just think, Kevin Evans. I think Kevin Evans' parents were pretty clever. Yeah. They're like, oh, what should we name him?
Yeah.
Kevin!
It's better than Evan.
Kevin Evans.
Yeah, exactly. Or Devin Evans is even better.
Yeah, wow. That's good. I like that. Tim Holderman would like to know, as he says, greetings, Sir Damn Carr. Thanks for 6 amazing seasons and even The Flash Sideways. What's the great next TV show to watch? Do either of you have favorite shows on television right now? This is thanks from Tim Holderman from Sudbury, Ontario, Canada.
Personally speaking, and I know you've got your faves, I'm a huge Dexter fan. Loved the pilot of Treme. I feel like I got under the wire way too late, and it's nice getting on board to this one early, even though it's very nascent. And as Carlton, as I told you in your office the other day, the show that I am very transfixed by right now is Justified, which I really, really like.
That's 3 shows, Damon.
3 shows.
That's a lot. I will add in there my plugs for Modern Family, which I love. It's really great, especially to see Julie Bowen, who played Jack's wife.
Sarah,
now functioning incredibly well on that show. She's like...
She's not a robot, girl. I am now programmed to be a housewife.
Well, she's. Let's just say that, you know, she seems a lot less tortured on... Or she's tortured in a more humorous fashion on Modern Family.
They're obviously, once she's charged...
When she's fully charged up.
She functions much better.
I love Manny.
Poor Julie.
Particularly. And O'Neill, Julie Bowen's great. Yeah. I also watch 30 Rock. I really love 30 Rock and The Office. I'm kind of on a more of a comedy thing. But I think Justified is also, I think that show's got a lot of potential as well.
Excellent. This is very simple, Carlton, and it is actually a question we've been asked a bit since the episode aired. From Blake Hall, I'm sure that you've gotten this question a million times already, but I just have to know about this. Did Kimi say the island or something else to Jin while he was taping him up in the package? Thanks. I love the wording there because it seems that Jin is the package.
Yes.
That Kimi was taping him up.
Yes.
Did he say anything about the island, Carlton?
No.
Okay, there you go.
But Kevin Durant was awesome on the show, and I was particularly very happy to get an explanation as to why Jin was in that damn refrigerator. I've got one more question for you, Damon.
All right, Carlton.
Mr. Cues and Mr. Lindelof, do you feel there has been any tragically missed merchandising opportunities with the series?
Yes.
Obviously, as executive producers, you have a vested interest in maintaining the integrity of the series, but I'm guessing that you also both enjoy purchasing fancy things like the Golden Opulence Sunday, mobile electronic communication devices, and yachts, not necessarily in that order. What Lost-related product do you wish you would have created to enable you to increase your royalties and increase the decadence of your lifestyle, Damon? And in case you're wondering, I'm a bit saddened by the inability to purchase my son a plush smoke monster that makes the ticking and howling sound when hugged. Signed, Kevin Sheen from Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right, I just feel like if Paul Newman can make popcorn and salad dressing, and God knows what else, why can't I buy Dharma Initiative ranch dressing in my local supermarket?
That's good.
That would literally, Carlton, make us billions. And by billions, I mean $30.
No, it wouldn't make us billions. Let me tell you a story. So basically, when one of my children opened the newspaper and saw an ad for the movie Road to Perdition,
yes,
he looked at the picture and said, "You mean the guy on the salad dressing is an actor?"
Wow.
So I think there's probably a lot of money to be had in the Paul Newman category. So I think, yeah, we should actually, probably easier to be making ranch dressing than to be coming up with Lost episodes. This is it. We've now discovered the sequel.
Right. And based on our merchandising deals, for every $2 million in sales that they make on ranch dressing, you and I will get 60 cents. So we've got a lot of dressing to move. We can sell it out of the back of our cars with our pamphlets.
That's good. All right. Well,
and what about you?
Here's my thinking. Okay, normally when we actually do something on a merchandising level, they give us like one. So like if there's a Dharma like coffee cup, someone will show up. They'll be like, here's your one coffee cup
Apollo bar.
Apollo bar, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, what about an Oceanic branded Gulfstream jet?
Wow.
And so basically they would just give us a Gulfstream jet because they were making Oceanic branded Gulfstream jets. We would get an Ocean. We would get a Gulfstream jet.
Isn't there a little bit of a difficulty with the Oceanic brand though? You know, whole idea of, you know, that's not really, when you get on an Oceanic Gulfstream jet, your brain says, is this thing going to break in half?
Look, if they make it, I'll take it.
I'm not saying my salad dressing idea is a winner, but
I just want the free jet, Damon. Okay, don't stand in the way of my dream.
I won't. I never have, and I never will, and that's why I'm letting you wear that hat. Is that a Hurley Bird feather? Is that?
Or? It's an eagle feather, but it was a Hurley Bird feather would be even larger than this feather.
Oh my lord.
All right. Well, on that note, aloha.
Four more podcasts to go.
Thank God. And lucky for you. Bye.
Bye.
That's it for this podcast. The Last Recruit airs April 20th at 9 p.m. only on ABC. Please note that by submitting your questions, you agree to ABC's terms of use, and you agree to have your name, city, state, and question included in this podcast. All submissions become the property of American Broadcasting Companies Incorporated in perpetuity without compensation. You must be 18 years or older to send email to abc.com.